We've been in a series the last several weeks called Bearing One Another's Burdens, and it circles around Galatians 6:2, which calls us to bear one another's burdens. And today, my sermon is called Built to Bear. And I'd like to take us through what I see as three key ideas or components that will enable us to bear weight for one another. And I have this image of a three-legged stool that I hope will be helpful, with each leg being practice, love, and power. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And we're going to spend time in Romans 12 to help us understand some of these ideas. Right in the middle of Romans 12, matter of fact, if you want to turn to your Bibles there, we're going to be in Romans 12 all morning. And if you are using one of the Bibles, the red Bibles we have, that's on page 789. But right in the middle of the chapter, in verse 15, Paul says this: rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And right in the middle, we've got this burden-bearing call, again, to comfort those who grieve, like we've been talking about lately, to be there really for one another. But also, Romans 12 gives us practical, extremely practical ways to love each other with a heartfelt love. And I think that we can grab some wisdom here to keep growing in this area, to keep strengthening our muscles, like in this burden-bearing journey that we're on. So we're going to meander our way through Romans 12. I'll be kind of bouncing around a little bit. And then I'll be using that three-legged stool image to help us kind of make sense of it all. So think about that three-legged stool for a minute. If one leg is missing, it might stand up a little bit, right? If two legs are missing, it's definitely not going to stand up. But you need all three legs to carry weight, right? To be strong, to bear weight, if anybody wants to sit on that stool, right? So there is an essence. I want us to think of that image as we talk through some of these things. So I want to talk about this first leg, which is practice. And I want you to think of practice as things like spiritual discipline. Nate actually touched on some of these last week, some practices like Sabbath, sacrament, meaning communion, that strengthen us to bear burdens, that empower us to bear burdens. So if you missed, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this practice leg. So if you missed last week, you can catch that sermon on our website or on our podcast. You can go to emmaus.church and find it. And I want you to listen to that, because spiritual practices are crucial to our spiritual health, not even just burden bearing in many areas, but especially in burden bearing as we care for one another. And one of the things that Nate said that stuck out to me is that simply that when God calls us to do something, He provides the power to do it. We are not left out there on our own just to figure it out. And I think it would be cruel for God to ask us and to call us to bear weight without giving us the tools and empowering us to do so. So I'm going to focus today on the other two legs, on love and on power. And again, if you want to check out last week's sermon, you can go find that online. But we're going to focus on love and power today. So let's talk about love. Before I get started, get too deep into it, I want to pray for us this morning. Lord, there is no one like you. Father, your goodness is beyond really what we can even imagine, Lord. And so today, as we look at Romans 12, as we study and as we hear your word, Lord, would you put such a passion in our hearts, Lord, for this call to bear burdens? Would you strengthen us with your love and with your courage? In your precious name, amen. So let's talk about love. It is a simple but crucial observation that in order to bear burdens, we've got to sincerely love other people. It almost sounds trite, but what I'm not talking about, we did some, Rich and I did some car shopping recently, and one day we went out and I was in my workout clothes. And the first thing the car salesman said to me was like, "I like your outfit." And it's funny how an insincere compliment is annoying, right? I was like, I just don't like this guy. Like, I'm probably not going to buy a car from him. But, you know, there's just that sense. We all know what that feels like when maybe somebody's buttering us up for something, to seal the deal, to seal the sale, right? Whatever it is that they want from us, we know what that feels like. And that is definitely not what Paul is talking about here. And this is what he says in Romans 12, 9, and 10. This is his call to us, and this is what he says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So this love, it's not something that we just whip up in our own strength. We really can't pull off this kind of uncommon love without the Lord, without God's Spirit fueling it in our hearts and in our lives. And that's why the very next verse, verse 11 says this, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." That spiritual fervor, that is the spark that we need for Spirit-enabled love. And we need the Spirit of God to not only love him, but to love others with that sincere kind of love. Really, almost a supernatural kind of love. That kind of love that can carry weight, that can be, you know, load-bearing. And I hope you would ask God to give you that kind of love for other people. Not just the people right around you, but people all around you, people you come in contact with. Ask him for a greater measure of that sincere love. And I think that's the reason why Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, if we have not love, we have nothing. Or in 1 Corinthians 14, let love be your highest goal. Love is paramount. And I wrestle with even talking about love sometimes because we throw that word around so much in our culture, and it can sound trite, and it can sound almost insincere, but we need the love of God flowing through us, in and through us. We need it as our fuel, and we need, like it talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, for our roots to grow deep down into the soil of God's love so that we can draw strength and nourishment from his love and his strength to carry the load, to carry burdens around us. Our love must be sincere. Okay, so let's go back to the three-legged stool here for a minute. I want to talk about power. I want to spend the bulk of our time here this morning on that. And when I say power this morning, what I'm going to talk specifically about is spiritual gifts, because you're going to see here in Romans 12, this is a big portion of what Paul is spending his time talking about. But God empowers his people with spiritual gifts that enable us to bear one another's burdens. That's the main idea here. Let's look at verse 6. This is what it says. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I love and continue to be so grateful that God does not just drop us off in a distant sort of way and say, good luck with that. He does not do that. He does not leave us alone. He does not leave us like as orphans out there to just, you know, figure it out. But he has generously provided his Spirit and his Spirit empowered gifts to help us carry burdens. There is something of an edge that we have with a spiritual gift, something that's a little bit uncommon, or a naturalness, an ease to it that comes with the Spirit, with our gifts that God has given us to do the work he's called us to do, to enrich the body of Christ. My youngest son, Jude, my kids always make it into my sermons, but my youngest son, Jude, when he was 3 years old, he comes up to me one day totally serious. He was not even joking. He just leans into my face like super intense. And he says, hey, Mom, I'm going to go ride my Flash motorcycle in the backyard, wear my Flash helmet. Fire's going to come off my back, so be careful. It's a little dangerous. And I was just like, okay. But it's funny because we all want that edge, you know, whether we fantasize about it or whether we're looking to hone one that actually exists, unlike Jude's fire coming off of his back. We all want that. And the beauty of what I'm talking about today is not that God is going to turn you into like a Marvel character by his Spirit, but that he does give us special gifts in varying measures, different kinds, to do the work he has for us to do. And today what we're talking about is burden bearing, of course. So there's a preacher and author by the name of John Thompson who I found to be pretty helpful on this topic. So I want to take a little bit of time and talk about just like spiritual gifts 101. And I hope that maybe you could just jot down a few things as I'm talking, just to kind of, let's dwell on this for a little bit, think about this for a little bit. Okay, first of all, the gifts are given by God's Spirit to believers. The gifts aren't something that we pick or earn. In the passage I just read, several of them are listed. There are other passages that list even more gifts, and I'll have those for you here in a minute. And these are different from natural talent. These are special gifts for building up the church. So in your notes, under the home group section, I've listed a question, and the question has three other passages listed there. It's 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. All those passages deal with spiritual gifts. So this week, whether you're in your home groups or at home, I would encourage you to take a look at those passages. And maybe some of you have an idea of what your spiritual gift or gifts are. Maybe this is a new conversation for many of us. And this is just a great place to start. Just read those passages. One of the things about spiritual gifts is that when we operate in our gifts, there is an ease. There's a bit of a natural strength and a joy that comes from using our gifts. It doesn't mean that there isn't work associated with them. I really think about Nate, who's an extremely gifted, I think we would all agree, if you guys come here every week, you probably agree, but he's a very gifted teacher and preacher. That doesn't mean that he just walks up here on a Sunday morning and starts to talk. There's a lot of study. There's a lot of preparation. Sometimes wrestling with a text or an idea, and maybe even a little bit of like proverbial beating your head against the wall to feel like you get it right. But there's a gift that comes when he shares, and an ease and a joy that comes with it as well. And I even think another extreme example of someone who I think had the gift of mercy would be Mother Teresa, and I just use her as an example because most of us know who she is. I actually traveled to her homes for the dying and destitute and worked in really unbelievable conditions while I was there, and I thought to myself, man, this woman did this every day, and you know that that was hard work, but undeniably, she had a gift of mercy that allowed her, with strength and with joy, somehow to carry on all those years, just seeing like horrendous, horrific suffering that people went through or have gone through or were going through at that time. So those are some things to think about. There is a chance you are operating already in your spiritual gift, and you might even be unaware of what it is because it comes so naturally. But another person might say, wow, they are just kind of do that, and it's so easy for them. Those are good hints as to what your gifts might be. And when you're going to, you know, when you're kind of asking the Lord, what is my gift, and searching that out, or gifts, you want to look at what you're drawn to, and you want to look at what frustrates you. I think there's a big clue right there. Somebody might walk into a situation here at church and say something like, why don't we pray more? Or why aren't we, you know, going out and preaching the gospel more? Or why aren't we helping the people in our neighborhood who are suffering? Could it be that the one who is calling us to pray has a gift of intercession? And the one who wants us to preach more has a gift of evangelism? And maybe the one who's concerned for the suffering have a gift of mercy? And you might be thinking right now, well, Melissa, aren't we all called to pray? Aren't we all called to the suffering? Aren't we all called to share our faith? And I'm glad you're thinking that. I'm glad you're wondering that, because yes, the answer is yes. Those are important spiritual disciplines, praying, caring for the poor or suffering, and sharing our faith. Those are all important spiritual disciplines. But some have an extra grace in those areas. And those people keep God's heart at the forefront. Their job is to help train us how to do what comes naturally to them. For those of us, it might be a discipline to work a little bit harder, to grow in those different disciplines. And so that frustration, you know, people who are super organized might walk into a disorganized situation and just know automatically what needs to happen. And so your frustration in an area might be a clue to your spiritual gift. So pay attention to that. Another thing about our gifts, or really, like, I think just a helpful tip, is to not compare. Our gifts vary, and that is very beautiful. And if you couple a person's spiritual gift with their natural talent and their personality, that's why we're all so unique. That's why we all have different things to bring and in different measures. So, for instance, if you think about a tragedy, somebody with the gift of mercy might respond differently than somebody with the gift of administration, right? But every tragedy I've ever witnessed or been close to needed somebody with mercy, and there was definitely logistics involved. And so the response is different, and what people bring to the table is different, but it's so important. It's so important to have those variety of gifts and not to compare, wishing that you had someone else's gift or the measure of somebody else's gift, but to ask the Lord, like, what is mine to do? What is the thing that, what is my assignment in this situation or in this church community or even in my family? And what have you given me that I can use, be it a spiritual gift or a natural talent? What is it that you've given me that I can use to support and love and to shore up my community with love and with truth and with the power of God? None of us will ever be the total fix. We just won't. I won't have all the answers. And this idea of not comparing my gift to somebody else's or you comparing your gift to somebody else, it allows us to do the work that's ours to do and then sleep at night. To have peace, to know this is my role here and this is not my role here. And I think spiritual gifts can really protect us from burnout. They can protect us from trying to be the total solution and to do what's ours to do. This week in home group, Some of you may have had home group this week, and there was a question that was asked, who's strong in bearing burdens, or something like that. Like, who do you know that models well bearing burdens? And a couple in our group came up, and I said, well, I was thinking about you guys. And then, like, everybody else in the group was like, oh, yeah, for sure, that's them. And I don't want to say their name. I don't want to embarrass them. But over the last couple years, I have been blown away by this couple and their ability to show mercy and love in super tough ways, in many ways that a lot of us would just be completely ill-equipped to do, and to do it with a real sense of joy, and even through their own personal trial that they went through in this season of time, they were able to bear another very large burden in this community. And that's that three-legged stool in action. They have practices. They talked about how every Sunday at church they would come and they have a practice of going back to this back corner and praying for very specific people and very specific things in their own life and lighting a candle to remember that God is with them and that God is strengthening them. And they sincerely love people. And they have a gift, I believe, of mercy that they have brought all these things together, and the weight they are able to manage as they do this is amazing. And I will tell you, it will look different for all of us. But I think we need to be inspired by those who have the strength to carry and to push through. So I want to wrap up here this morning. Maybe you're intrigued by this idea of spiritual gifts, and you don't know yours. I don't stress about this. I don't want to create this sense of like, oh, I got to find my spiritual gift tomorrow and utilize it by next week. That's not what I'm here to. I don't want to create anxiety. But what I want you to do is maybe just go on a journey, pray, ask God, like, what are the gifts you've given me, natural or otherwise, that you've tucked into my life, into my heart for your kingdom? What are they? And then I would also encourage you this morning to start with service. If you're not sure, just start with service. And really, at the very beginning, we're going to talk about Romans 12:1 here in a second. At the very beginning of this whole conversation on spiritual gifts, this is how Paul sets this stage. And I think it offers us a beautiful clue as we maybe embark on a journey of discovering our gifts. It says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. I love it when Paul calls us brothers and sisters. Like, there's something about it that makes me just pause. It's like, oh, he's saying family. There's an intimacy to that, a closeness and a tender-hearted love. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Jesus, he had all the gifts, right? He had all the spiritual gifts. But the foundation of everything he did was service, and he offered himself as a living sacrifice. And we too are to follow his example and follow his model. So begin with service. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. It goes on to say, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Jesus's heart was service. And offering ourselves as a living sacrifice I just believe that's the beginning of building this strength, this three-legged stool that I keep talking about, because he transforms us through those practices, those spiritual disciplines. He strengthens us with his love to sincerely love others, and he empowers us with gifts to bear burdens with strength. And that is how we're built to bear. Practice love, power. They hold us up. And so this week, pray about your gifts. Start serving if you aren't already. So many of you, oh my goodness, I could just go around the room and sing your praises. Serve, but if you haven't done that yet, get involved. And we are in this, like, together, and we're built together to bear one another's burdens. I want to pray for us this morning as we close. Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would do a new work of love in our hearts for one another, for those whose lives we come in contact with. Do a new work of genuine and sincere love. Lord, I pray that you would take us to really the next level of being aware of and walking in the gifts that you have given us, your people, Lord, to build up one another, to support one another. Lord, strengthen us for those that you will bring to us to care for, those you will bring to us to disciple, those you will bring to us whose hearts need mending. Lord, make us strong and able to bear weight for that task, Lord. Would you be glorified and magnified in all of us? Would you transform our hearts? And would you fill us with your Spirit and with your power, Lord, that we could be faithful to this call, that we could be faithful to the work you have for us to do? Speak to us now, Lord, and this week, Lord, guide us. In your precious name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys can stand up. We're going to take just a moment. We're going to pass the peace, greet one another, and then we're going to come back and receive communion together in just a few moments. So may the peace of Christ be with you.